could sing this morning. I was thinking too. I didn't want to mention earlier. I didn't want to downplay Mom's accent. Mom's not here, so I can say what I want to, right? And she wouldn't want me to say anything. So tell her you heard it on the news, all right? If she asks about it. But she's overall doing fine. But yeah, she was out. She was on Hull Street. She's out Hull Street past Lux Lane, head towards Midlothian. On Courthouse, past Hull Street, heading towards Midlothian. And anyway, so yeah, it was, and she's probably going 75, 80, something like that. No, but she says she never hit the brake or anything and hit that deer. I know y'all have experienced that, man. So it just did a lot of damage. And so whether it's a deer or car or whatever, it's still, just pray for that. But she's doing overall fine, man. It's just fine. A few bruises. Most of that was about all of us airbag inflicted, really. So anyway, pray for that. I was thinking too, she actually got more deer than a few of you hunters did this year. But anyway, she got one. But pray for that. Pray for her as you think of that. Don't want to downplay it. And I can, like I say, she's not here, so I can just don't tell her. All right, Brother Jason, come read scripture for us.
Just wait till after the service. I get to call her, talk about that. You know what she told me for her speech? She said, "I was keeping up with traffic," is what she told me. I don't know what that means. But at Courthouse and Lux, that's about 57, 58 miles an hour probably. I told her, so I'm walking out last night, and I said, and I mean this, and it's that generation. But I said, "You know what, Mom?" I said, "You're tough." I said, "And we need tough people in our lives because our generation is soft." I said, so I need somebody to see that's 78 years old. I'm not sure. Don't tell I said that. And now he's calling. So like I said, 48 years old, and she's just rolling along. But she is tough. And I told her, I said, she's tough as nails. And, man, I'm really in trouble now. So much for that. So let's turn to Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. But, no, I appreciate your prayers for her. And, man, what a... such a wonderful mother, and so we're so blessed for that. Now, I'm also going to say something about Dad, because I want to say something about Dad. Let's think about this a couple of where you turn to Joshua chapter 4. You know, this thought had come to me, and of course, when he had said it way back, I didn't have kids at the time, but he said it throughout, and I'm sure some of you will remember this, but I was reminded this week, just thinking about Dad last couple of weeks, but thinking about him, and I remember one time in particular, and it actually brought some tears to my eyes. I was thinking about it the last couple of weeks, but I remember I came to the house, and man, I was having a struggle with something, and I remember I walked in the house, and I knew where Dad would be. I knew he'd be in his study. I knew he'd be studying his books and the Word of God, which he spent a lot of time doing, and I knew he'd be there, so I headed straight up there. And as a father and son, I hope I have this relationship with my sons as they get older. I didn't have to say a word. Neither one of us had to say a word. He knew that I was struggling. And he got up out of his chair, and I remember just coming and just grabbing me and just hugging me. And it just reminded me, and I think this is so great for us with kids and to remember. But Dad would always say, what would we say? He'd say, hug them until they let go. He said, hug them until they let go. And my dad lived that. He lived that, and I'll tell you, that night, he hugged me until I let go, and it's always stuck with me, and I so appreciate my dad giving me things that I can help in my own life and as I raise my own kids, and John Mark said, Brother Pastor John Mark said the same thing, just the life he lived. I so appreciate that, and he pointed us to Christ, and understand that I look to Christ because of my dad. I look to my dad. I love my dad. He's my hero, but I look to Christ because of the life he lived. And so I'm so appreciative of that, and just wanted to share that with you. Joshua chapter 4, read verses 22 through 24, and it says this, "Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over. That all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that you might fear the Lord your God forever." Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for all that you've done. And God, thank you for this place. What a wonderful place. And Lord, just thinking about it this week, Lord, and so grateful for the opportunity to serve here. And God, with your people, Lord God, the people that make up Gilgrove Baptist Church and your church, Lord, we just so thank you for all that you've done, Lord, and the blessings, Lord. Lord, I'm sure there are times I take for granted, Lord. I pray that I don't, because there are a lot of churches not like this, and a lot of good churches, Lord, but this is a church you have for us, and God, we thank you for it, Lord. I pray that your hand would be upon the message this morning, Lord. Be with Pastor John where he speaks. Be with all those, Lord, I was thinking as Miss Jana sang this morning about there's always hope with Jesus Christ. There's always hope. And if you feel like you're at the end and there's nothing else that you can do, Christ is there and can help you through your word that you provided, Lord, and just walking with us daily. God, I do pray, Lord, if anybody here doesn't know Jesus Christ, Lord, as their personal Savior, today would be their day. And God, they would accept you, Lord. It would change their life. And Lord, may not change all their problems and struggles right away, Lord God, but it will give somebody to walk through those trials and struggles with them. And so, God, we pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit would move in the message today. And, God, we thank you again for this place. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jason. And appreciate, as always, the music this morning in the choir. And then Mrs. Hayes with the special and with the offertory. So thank you for that this morning. Joshua chapter 4, We've covered the first three chapters of Joshua here, talking about what God is doing in the nation of Israel. And we get here, we talked about last week, Joshua chapter 3, the finally, I mean, this is something they've been wanting to do really for 40 years, and finally they're able to cross the Jordan River. And so we continue with that here in Joshua chapter 4. We read the first, few verses of the chapter, and really this chapter talks about a memorial, which we'll spend some time on, and you start looking back in life, and the last, I don't know if your children have ever done this, but just within the last few weeks, my children have been pulling out yearbooks, all right, yearbooks from high school and from college, and for some reason getting a lot of good laughs out of those as they look at the pictures, and man, Daddy, your hair wasn't gray back then. I said, no, not back then. And look at different. And then I've been showing them, especially I've pulled some of the college yearbooks out. There's some people that that we know from other schools who play stuff. Say, yeah, this is a picture of them back in college, that kind of thing. So they're going and I don't know if your children have done that. You know, they'll pull out the yearbooks and look at the pictures Those times when we were, we had those yearbooks, whether it be high school or if you went to college, be honest with you, we didn't think of those things as a memorial necessarily, right? I mean, we'd look at those things, and if we had, we would have dressed a little differently or maybe looked a little different, and we'd known how many years later people would be looking at those things. But we don't necessarily think of those in the moment as something that years from now you'll look back on. Now, sometimes we may, but for the most part, man, we're just going through school, going through high school, going through whatever it is, going through college. We're not thinking about looking back. But here in this passage, this is something very interesting to me. The people of Israel put together a memorial, and it's not something they came up with on their own. It's something that God told them to do. So that tells us this. First of all, there's nothing wrong with looking back. We mentioned the flowers here in honor and memory of Dad, and some of y'all have lost loved ones, and to look back at those times, there's nothing wrong with that. Dad would say all the time, it's okay to visit. You don't want to stay there, but it's great to go back and think about those things. But in this passage here, we have some time set aside in chapter 4, and really, if you read it in the time frame here, in chapter 3, they're crossing over the Jordan River. In chapter 4, really all takes place, except for the very end, as they're crossing over the Jordan. So really, within a day, maybe a couple days, or probably within one day's time, is when all this takes place here in chapter number 4. So I want to go back to the beginning of the chapter and just talk about really just a couple things very quickly this morning, get you to think about. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. So here's the first thing we have. We have God telling Joshua, I want you to prepare a memorial. And it's interesting here, he says, I want you to prepare a memorial as it's taking place. You know, a lot of times when things are taking place, I mentioned yearbooks and things, we don't think about setting up something for those in the future to remember it by. A lot of times what will happen is later on, you know, years down the road, we'll think about, oh, I remember when that happened, and try to go back to that place and see if there's anything that's significant or left there that, you know, if you've done this, you know, go back and look at the house you used to live in, right, or the school you used to go to, or something. We'll go to those places and look, but while we're going through whatever it is, we don't necessarily think about preserving that for those that are going to be coming after us. And yet God says, hey, while you're walking through the Jordan on dry ground, while you're experiencing this miracle of God, I want you to take a little bit of time and I want you to prepare a memorial. And so he tells them exactly what to do. He tells them in verse number 3, he says, I want you to take some stones out of the Jordan River, right there where the priest's feet stood. And of course, you know, as the priest went in there, that's when the water began to part, and that dry ground there said, I want you to pick up those stones. And it later on it tells us they took them and put them on their shoulders. We're not talking about little pebbles. These are significant stones. He said, I want you to take 12 of those stones, and I want you to take those out of the Jordan River. And in verse number 3, he says, I want you to put them in that place where you're going to lodge that night. And really, this is not the message this morning. With that crossing the Jordan always symbolizes death, and in this case really symbolizes the death and burial of Jesus Christ that would happen one day. And so as they passed over the Jordan River, God, Jesus experienced death for us, and then of course on the other side, the resurrection and the living a life, a victorious Christian life because we're saved because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And so they take those stones. He says, I want you to get those. I want you to take them out of the Jordan River. And I want you to have them there as a memorial. So we look at verse number 4. There's a reason for this. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, every tribe of man. Verse 5. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. And then he gives the reason they're doing this. Verse number 6. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. He says, I want these to be a sign, a symbol for you. I want you to take those, and I want you to put them on the other side of Jordan. So again, they're taken from the middle of Jordan, and taking them over to the other side where they're going to be there in the land of Canaan. It says, I want you to put them there. That's a memorial. That's a sign. But it's also a memorial forever of what God has done. And so, again, it's something they're supposed to do while it's going on. Many times as God's doing something in our life, we don't think about that. But that's what God said to do. And so that's what they begin to prepare, that memorial, showing what God has done. And by the way, let me just mention this, because this is not part of what we'll talk about today. But there's actually two different things that are done here in this book, in this chapter. Go to verse number 8. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. So they did exactly what Joshua told them, right? They took stones out of the Jordan River, and they took and put them in Gilgal, is where they're going to put them there, where they lodged, where they stayed after they got out. But also look at what happens in verse 9. This is a different thing that Joshua does. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. So actually, while that was going on, Joshua got some stones from where they were in the past, from really what represents the wilderness. And to show that they were leaving that behind and sort of burying that in the Jordan River, he took and right at the priest's feet, he put those 12 stones, which are still there under the Jordan River. And of course, eventually, at the end of this chapter, the Jordan River will come back together, close back up, and cover those stones. So there are two different memorials here. Joshua puts one in the midst of the Jordan River, the other one taken out of the Jordan River and set up there in Gilgal. So you have that. God said, prepare a memorial in the midst of my working and what I'm doing here. And he said, there's a reason for that, as a sign, as a memorial. And that's what I'm going to spend most of our time on this morning. I want you to go to verse number 19. Verse number 19. So they do that. They come and they're there. They're out of Jordan. In fact, let's before we get to chapter 19, to sort of finish the story, let's look at verse 18.
And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord would come up out of the midst of Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto the dry land, that the waters of Jordan returned into their place and flowed over all its banks as they did before. So the priests, the last ones coming out, they come out, they step onto the land, and what happens? That Jordan River goes back as it was before. What a miracle of God that he did there. And so they see that, and then they're here in Gilgal, verse number 19. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, he wants to tell them what God has said. He says, here's the reason we're doing this. Verse 21, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? He says, you're putting them there for your children. You're putting this memorial there for your children, for those generations that come after you to see. And he says, because they're going to see that more. They're going to see that this heap of stones is here, and they're going to ask you some questions. They're going to say, hey, what are these stones for? Why did we put these stones here, these stones that are stacked together? There's got to be a reason. And he said, really, that we're putting them there so that those children will ask about those things, so that next generation and the generation after will ask about what's done. And then verse 22, and I think this is so important for us. He said, then ye shall let your children know. You know what? It's important for us to let the next generation know what God has done. And he said, I want you to put a memorial there so your children will ask about it. And they'll ask you what's going on here, what happened here. And, you know, your children will ask you about it, mention the yearbooks. They'll ask you about, you know, this person, that person, things. They'll ask you as they see those things and look back at pictures and things like that. He said, I want your children to see that. He said, then I want you to let your children know some things. The first thing, look at verse 23. It says, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over. He said, I want you to let your children know that God took the Jordan River and dried up the Jordan River so you can walk over. You know, because those children are going to come and they're going to see those stones and they're going to look out the Jordan River and they're going to think, how in the world did you get from there to here? And mom and dad are going to say, hey, God took that water. He parted that Jordan River and we walked across on dry land. God did that for us. He says, that's what you need to share with your children, with that next generation. As they ask about this, they'll see that. And you say, hey, God did this for us. And he parted that Jordan, dried up Jordan until we were passed over. And notice not only that, look at verse 23. As at the end of the verse, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we were gone over. He said, just like he did with the Red Sea 40-some years ago, God did the same thing for us. And by the way, just as the generation before had been able to tell them about God parting the Red Sea, they could tell their children about God parting the Jordan River for them. And said, make sure you let them know that God did that. God's the one, just as he did the Red Sea. And by the way, just go back to look at verse 14. He parted the Jordan River just as he had the Red Sea. Verse 14, on that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. You know, just as God had magnified Moses, and Moses had been there as the Red Sea was parted, Joshua was there as the Jordan River was parted, and God magnified him in the sight of Israel just as Moses had been. And so God, just as the Red Sea had been parted, he parted the Jordan River just as Moses had been magnified, Joshua also had been magnified. And it said, you let those children know the Lord your God dried up those waters. And also he said, I want your children to know this, verse 24. Not only your children, but that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. You know what we need to let others know? That the hand of God is mighty. It's a mighty God that we serve. It was a mighty God that died on the cross for us so that we could have eternal life through him. We need to let people know that. It's a mighty God that is in control of what goes on in this world today. It doesn't mean that he agrees with everything and that he wants all that, but we do know we have a God that's in control. And all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. He said, that's what you need to tell your children, let them know. And then not only the hand of the Lord is mighty, but look at the end of verse number 24. It is mighty that you might fear the Lord your God. For how long? Forever. He said, you need to teach your children and that God is the one that parted the Jordan River that brought us over here, that God, His hand is mighty, and that they would fear God forever. You know, are we really teaching that to our children? And I was thinking about that, and you know, the memorials that we have and the things that we put up, and you know, I think it's great for us to write down. I think you should write down the day you got saved. Whenever you got saved, you should have that written down somewhere. Sometimes we'll forget, right? And we may not remember that. Now, if you don't have a date, you don't have to have a date to be saved. All right? You just have to know that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I think it's good to do that, to remember that date. And I don't think there's anything wrong with writing down maybe the date you got baptized, or the date you joined the church, or the date that you maybe surrendered your life, or maybe there's a call to ministry, and any of those things. Man, those decisions, spiritual decisions that you made, and to keep record of those and to write those down. But, you know, I was thinking about, for myself, sometimes if we're not careful, our focus, when we think about this scripture, all right, we need to set up some memorials. We tend to think about, as always, we tend to think about us, right? And so I was thinking, for me, I tend to think about, you know, okay, well, this is the date where I made this spiritual decision. This is the time where I made this spiritual decision. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need to remember those things and hopefully, talk about those things. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But to be honest with you, in this passage here, this memorial is really set up not to remember some spiritual decision the Israelites made. No, this memorial is set up to focus the people of Israel and to focus their children to remember when God did something miraculous in their lives. It's not just a lot of us focus on me, what I did. Yeah, okay, since I did this for God, everything's been great. Well, no, what we need to focus on sometimes is what God did for us. Not what we did, what God did. You know why God parted the Jordan River for them? Because He's God and because He's mighty and because He allowed them to walk across on dry ground there. And I began to think of some dates. I said, let me think back to some times, and you know, I think back to the late 70s. Let me tell you something. Those of y'all remember, you're in that white building there, God was doing something over there. Hey, it was miraculous what God was doing. And you may not remember every single service, but those of you, man, God was, I'm telling you, my children were asking me. They were asking me about this just in the last couple weeks. They said, because we've been traveling around and going to ball games and other churches and Christian schools that were going in the state of Virginia. And they were asking me, they said, you know, are there any other schools that we play that are as far out away from everything as we are? We had a great hope just came in. Pastor Godfrey Jr. came with them the Monday, and he hadn't been here a long time. I said, man, I've forgotten how far out in the country y'all were. And he was talking about hunting and all the places we have here to go hunting. So he was excited about that. And we had another guy that came from there that hadn't been here before. I said, man, never been here. And I'm telling you think it's far out now. You talk about 40-some years ago, all right? I mean, we're no Rivers Trace, no Cheston Landing, no Eagle Cove, none of those houses here, nothing. I mean, there was no way anybody would come out here unless they were lost, all right? That's the only way they come out here. I remember, listen, when I learned to drive, Nash Road had no lines on it. I like roads with no lines, right? You can pass anytime you want to. And people did. Curves, no curves, it didn't matter. And then, by the way, there's a lot more curves on Nash Road than there is now. Had three one-lane bridges. Remember that? Three one-lane bridges, and you had to... You're going... The speed limit was 55 with no lines. So everybody's going, anyway, faster than that. And you get to the one-lane bridge, you know, and you're sort of banking on nobody being there at that. I mean, I remember that. I remember out here. And you think about that. Hey, for the amount of people to come out here, God had to do something, right? I mean, God was doing something miraculous, and those of y'all that were here, when you're in the middle of it, a lot of times you don't think, man, I'm going to remember this. You're just going. You're just, man, this is what we're doing. But God was doing something miraculous. And I think back to that time in the late 70s, even early 80s, and when God was building this place, and you look back and say, man, God was doing stuff. And not just focusing on, sure, were there people, yes, and decisions that maybe you made, and that's great. But also looking, man, God was doing a miracle. Hey, God was doing something miraculous. And you think back to those times. I was just in the last couple of weeks, I was listening to some singing in a message, and I still remember this, 1984. 1984 at Cave of Free Will Baptist Church, and Dad did a revival, a week-long revival, Monday through Friday. And I remember going that Friday. I honestly can't remember if we were there every service, but I know we were there that Friday night, and the Wilderness Quartet came and sang. And let me tell you something, God did something. I remember being in that service and being there, and then most of you weren't there. I don't know if any of you were there. But we were there, and my Aunt Helen, last time we really saw her, and of course, unless you know the story, but not long after that, she was murdered, and just a horrific story there. But she was there in the service and had been away from God. Some, but man, so good to see her, and it just so reassuring, so much that went on that show. I still remember 1984, and what God did there in that service. I remember that. I remember this. I go back. I'm thinking, and I mentioned this just in the last couple of weeks. So I won't take a lot of time with it. I remember 1999 in the church service, and the first time I met my wife, first time I met her, and how God brought us together. We met there in a church service, and Dr. Lee Robertson was preaching. I'm honest with you, I can't remember what he preached on. I remember her being there and seeing her, and that part I do remember. I remember what she was wearing. I have no idea what he preached on, but I remember what she looked like. I remember all that. It's vivid in my mind. But, you know, God did something miraculous there in bringing us together. I was thinking back, this was a little more recent, in 2017. And Dad had been in and out of the hospital all summer. And those of y'all remember, and he had discovered some stomach issues, and he couldn't get right. Couldn't get right. And to be honest with you, I look back now, really, we were at a point, we didn't know if he was getting any better. We really didn't. And it's 2017, and through the summer there, and I remember having a conversation. I talked to Tracy, my older sister, and said, man, I just don't know. I don't know if he's going to recover from this. I don't know how he's going to be. And I was at a conference, I still remember, in New Jersey, And to be honest with you, I don't remember what the message, I remember some of it. But I know God just really spoke to me, and I started thinking about Dad, and we were there. He was in the hospital. I was there with my wife and family, and actually Brother Steve and Becca were there too. And so they were there in the service, and it's a pretty good sized auditorium, and they gave the invitation, and I started crying, and but man, I got to get down on my knees for my dad. And I went and I found Becca, and we got down our knees together in that service, and we prayed and asked God to heal her dad. And God did. And I'm saying just because of our prayers, there's a lot of people that are praying for him, but God, Dad got better, got out of the hospital. We got to enjoy a couple more years with him there. And that's just, I just remember God doing something. God doing something. And those times in my life, not the spiritual, now there's nothing wrong with the spiritual decisions we make. And by the way, when you got saved, let me tell you, God did something miraculous, all right? When you got saved, God did something special. So to remember that, so maybe for you, it's that night you walked the aisle or somebody spoke to you about your soul and you trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, man, then that's something that's vivid in your mind, what God did for you. But man, I think about those dates. And when God did something, man, looking around the room today, and I see Mr. Martin back there, and God did something, right? God did. I see Mr. Lonnie here, and what? Wasn't that long ago in the hospital, not sure if he's going on a ventilator, if he's ever coming back. God did something. We were at the tournament this weekend, saw Mr. Dan Zacharias, and he's still a little slow moving around, but God did something. And you think about the times that God did something, and in memorial, something you have, so your children, and they say, hey, what happened here? And you say, no, this is when God did something for me. Do we have those moments in our life where God, and as I began to go through my life, I thought, not nearly as many as there should be. And it's not because I don't have a God that's powerful. He is. But it's because many times in my life, I'm so busy with what I'm doing, I don't have time, or I'm not looking for what God's trying to do in my life. Hey, by the way, the reason that God, remember we talked about last week, the reason that God parted the Jordan River is because of what they do first. They stepped in that water by faith. You see, I haven't had many of those miraculous things that God has done. Well, maybe it's because of our lack of faith, right? Maybe we haven't stepped out on faith, so we haven't seen the miracles of God. Hey, there should be some signs, some symbols, some memorials in our life where we can tell our children, hey, let me tell you something, Let me tell you what God did here. Let me tell you what God did. And let me tell you how God miraculously did this for me. And imagine those, I imagine those people, and they're walking in with their children, and they see this heap of stones, and the little boy says, "Hey, Daddy, what's that for?" "Hey, man, let me tell you. Let me tell you what God did on that day." And let me tell you this, this morning, 2,000 years ago, what's that cross for? You know what that cross is for? 2,000 years ago, God did something. Hey, God did something. When your children ask you about that, God did something. He did something miraculous for us. Hey, what are the miracles God has done in your life? You may not have some. Look, I mentioned some of these that God has healed them. You may not have that story. So, I've never been that sick. No, that's fine. Let me tell you this. If you've lived long enough serving God, God's going to do some things miraculous in your life. So many times we've been focused on, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. Oh, here's the decision I made. Here's what I did. Here's when I did that. We need to talk more about when God did something. What has He done for you? Let me tell you something. If you're not saved, He died on that cross for you. He did that for you. That miracle took place, but if you don't accept Him as your Savior, it's not doing you a lot of good. Man, it'd be wonderful if you could talk about the day you got saved. The day God saved you from your sin. What miracles has God done in your life? They said, let's make a memorial. Hey, let's tell our children about what God has done. Father, thank You for what You've done. Lord, You've been so good to us. And Lord, sometimes the mundane things of life we don't even look at as miraculous as we should. And whether it be the, Lord, think about this week, another child that was born. Lord, that's a miracle. That's a miracle. And other things, Lord, as You protect us and take care of us. But, Lord, I do pray for us as Your people. Lord, we really dwell on and think about what You've done. And Lord, if there's not many, very many times, or if we can't this morning think of a miraculous time in our life, maybe it's because we haven't stepped out on faith enough. Lord, I pray, first of all, there's someone not here that's never trusted You. Never taken that first step of faith in believing that You died for their sins. Lord, I pray this morning You'd do a miracle in their life. Lord, You'd save their soul. It's amazing that you ever wanted to save our souls, but You did. That You would want to have a relationship with us. Lord, we don't understand that, but You do. So I pray that You'd do that this morning, the miracle not just of birth, but the miracle of a second birth, of being born again. Lord, if there's someone here not saved, I pray they trust You. Lord, those that are saved, Lord, help us to see miraculous things. And Lord, help us to see them because we're willing to step out on faith. Lord, help us to recognize them as they take place and remember them so we can tell those. Lord, we're not bragging on ourselves at all. We're bragging on You. Telling what You've done. Sharing that with those around us. I pray we do that in Jesus' name. If everybody stand with head bowed and eyes closed this morning, nobody looking around, let me ask you this morning. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? It's a miracle what God did for us, that Jesus was sent to earth as a Son of God, the perfect Son of God, and then lived a perfect sinless life so that He could sacrifice that life on the cross to pay for our sins. That's a miracle. You say this morning, you say, I know this. Listen, I'm not saying that I've seen all the miracles happen, but one thing I've seen this, that God saved my soul, saved me from sin, and God's going to take me to heaven. If you can say that this morning without a doubt, would you just go ahead and slip your hand up and say, no, I'm saved this morning. Put your hand right back down. Thank you. Here this morning, you say this, you say, listen, I'm honest with you. I don't have anything I could tell about. And if my children ask me, Mommy, Daddy, what about going to heaven or what's that cross about? I might could try to explain it a little bit to them, but I don't know that I could give them a personal story because I've never trusted Jesus Christ or I'm not sure about my salvation. Listen, again, I won't embarrass you, but if you're like that this morning, say, I'm just not sure about my salvation, you do me a favor, be honest before God, and I want to pray for you, and just slip your hand up and say, pray for me, I'm just not sure about my salvation. If you do that this morning, just say, I'm just not sure. Slip your hand up. Say, I'm just not sure. Let me ask this morning, have we seen miracles? That we've seen miracles from the hand of God in our lives. If so, thank Him for it, man. Have a memorial in place. And then if we want to see more, it's going to be stepping out on faith, trusting Him. As the music plays this morning, you come as the Lord spoke to you.
Stay faithful to God. God still wants to do miracles. You know that. He's still looking to do that. And He wants to do it in our lives, in this church, in your family. And so keep those that are around you in your prayers. And then keep faithful to Him. Make sure you're back tonight. And again, our choir practice is in place. Brother Jason will be preaching for us tonight. Wednesday night, Master's Club, 6:30. And then we'll continue our series on Proverbs. So be in here for the services. Be in your places this week. And enjoy the week. Enjoy a little bit warmer weather, right? Hopefully have some of that this week as well. Father, thank You for all You do for us. And we do pray, Lord, there's so many burdens and needs. And, Lord, I pray for those that are going through sickness now, those who have things that are upcoming. Lord, I pray that You just meet with each of those and comfort and help and strengthen them. And, Lord, help us, as You've told us to bear one another's burdens. And so help us to do that. And, Lord, help us to look for the miraculous. And, Lord, we know this, not everything we go into, not every situation, is it going to turn out even like we think it will. But we do know this, Lord, as we're faithful and serve You and stay strong in our walk with You, Lord, then You'll take care of us and You'll protect us. You'll show us, Lord, Your power. And so we pray for that. Give us a great rest of the day. Bring us back safely tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.